But I think that message this morning can be a help to you if you missed it, or if you know somebody that goes that deals with that. And my goal is to have it on the internet by the end of the week. But that was a powerful passage of scripture that I think would be a huge help to you. Now, well, one other commercial. Don't forget that if you've not yet signed up for our discipleship groups, our D groups, we'll be starting those new ones up in about a week or two. And so if you are on a list, hang on, we'll get you information about it. But we've had a good time in ours this past year, and we're kind of all sad to be splitting up, but it's a necessary thing to do. And so looking forward to seeing what God has for us in that ministry as it continues forward. This is lesson 12 of 13 in James. And so again, just to kind of give you a little bit of insight what's going on. So next week, there's no evening service, so we won't finish this series out. The following week, I think that's the 12th. That sound right, of April? Okay. So we'll finish this series out, and then the following week is when Dr. Fogel's with us. So we'll start a new series the week after that. So I think it's the last week in April, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. I've got a couple different studies on my desk that I'm kind of going back and forth on. But we'll start up something new after that. So we got 1 week left of this series on James, and it's praying, powerful prayer. So that'll be 2 weeks from tonight. And then we'll get into a new series after that. All right. Before we jump into this, I do this pretty often. Anybody have a praise, something that you're thankful for that God's done? Anybody at all before we jump into this and in the book of Hebrews? Anybody have a praise? That verse, then there was silence in heaven for about an hour, whatever it is, you know. Anybody? All right. I'll give a praise for Gary. He got home from the hospital on he had the surgery on Monday, got home from the hospital Tuesday afternoon, and he was up and at him by Wednesday, and I've seen him a few times, and he's sounds good, looks good, feels good. So just, what's that? Okay, so just keep praying for him that he recovers and he does the therapy well. Yes, sir. Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She looked. I saw her this week and she looked really good too. So it was good to see her here today as well. Any others? Yes. Okay. Let me pray right now for the situation. Okay, let's pray. Father, we do love you, and Lord, I can't fully comprehend the burden that is on Linda and Tim as well, but Lord, you do. Lord, your word tells us that you'll never put anything on us that we can't bear, but Lord, sometimes that seems so hard in what we're dealing with. Father, I ask that you would ease this burden for Linda. I pray that you'd help us as a family, as a faith family, to lift her up and Tim as well. And Lord, I ask that you would bring consolation and comfort that only you're able to bring, even as we saw this morning. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be exactly where you'd have us to be in this situation, and just give them the comfort and the peace that only you're able to bring. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we are in Hebrew. No, James, just kidding. James, I'm so used to being in Hebrews. We're in James 5, so let's go ahead and read this text together, and then we will jump in. Now, I'll give you the same disclaimer I gave you the last few weeks. What you have, I may not go by exactly. I'll do my bestest to help you out with the things. There's not very many blanks. It's just kind of a follow study sheet for you. On the right side should be some space for you to kind of you know, get some things written in yourself, and so feel free to add to or take away to whatever can be a help to you, okay? So James 5, beginning in verse 7, says this, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment." All right, so this is a passage I've been telling you about that is dealing with patience. And if you're like everybody else, we spend our lives waiting. You ever gone on, I call it customer non-service on the phone? You know, "Hi, your call is important to us. We will get to you in 4 hours and 15 minutes. Please wait patiently." And you're like, yeah, I call it phone purgatory myself because I don't know whether I should hang up or hang on. If I hang on, it's going to be the full 4 hours. If I don't, it's going to be 2 minutes, and I don't know what to do with that phone call, and so it drives me nuts. Anyway, we spend our lives waiting. And, as kids, I couldn't wait to ride a bike. And then many of us couldn't wait to get a driver's license and then a car. And high school's almost done, now college, and we're kind of in this hurry-up thing of getting to the next step, level, whatever, in our lives. And nobody that I'm aware of really enjoys waiting. One thing that we have enjoyed as a family, moving from the East Coast to here, is there's a little bit more patience here than there is out east, wherever east is. I don't know where it is. That way, okay. There, it's a whole lot. It's a whole lot of a more patient lifestyle here. You may think to yourself, "Where is that at?" Just come out Jersey with me for about an hour and a half, and we can show you lots and lots of examples everywhere of a lack of patience. And that's just built in. It's 24/7, and it's a different lifestyle. And I don't miss it at all, as a matter of fact. So anyway, you get the idea. We don't like to wait. You may be waiting now for something, whatever it might be. So, having said that, we still do have to find ways to develop patience. So we're going to look at four things tonight. You've already seen them on your paper that can help us think this through and be more faithful in practicing patience. So the first one, verses 7 and 8, is we need to wait expectantly. In verse number 7, it says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." That word patient, you see it several times here, means forbearing or even the idea of long suffering. It's the idea, if you will, of waiting under duress. So there is pressure in this patience issue that we're talking about here. Remember, as I said this morning, I'll say it again tonight several times, the New Testament, when these writers are writing, they're not writing in the Hilton. None of them are writing in great conditions. In fact, several of the books that Paul writes are called prison epistles because he's writing from prison about the joy of the Lord. Talk about an oxymoron and a paradox, all wrapped up into one. That was Paul's situation. So when we have it difficult, keep in mind, most of what's written in the New Testament is written in a very difficult time that the church was in, with pressure from the inside and out. Okay? And so this patience is talking about long-suffering, duress. James is telling his brothers and sisters, and you and me, to be patient in the midst of trying and difficult circumstances. Well, what do we do? Let's first of all continue in the book of Psalm. Go to Psalm 5. Psalm chapter 5 gives us a little bit of inclination on what we can do. We're going to change to several passages. If you have a little bookmark of some sort, I encourage you to keep it in James 5, and then we'll flip around to the place in the Bible. So Psalm 5 and verse 3 says this. What do we do to follow that admonition that we're going to have to deal with these adverse situations. Well, Psalm 5, verse 3 says this, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." Well, you talk about a great passage for patience. This tells us, first thing in the morning, I am saying, God, I need to hear from you like ASAP. And I need to hear from you ASAP every day. God, please let me hear from you as soon as possible, because I need you. So in Psalm 5, you see a complete dependence on the psalmist that is David here, saying, Lord, you're going to hear from me first thing in the morning because I need to hear from you. That's a great, when we're dealing with a trial, a diverse, just a major issue, duress is on us. If we get away from God, then our patience is almost like we're then walking in the dark. I'm not a fan of that. Now, we've got two dogs. You all know, most of you met Smokey and Dakota. They like sleeping next to my side of the bed. They don't sleep on the bed. That's a firing offense in our home. Every once in a while, Dakota gets cold, and she'll put her head in the bed, and my wife goes, don't even think about it. And she kind of tucks away and backs off. But there's been times where I woke up in the middle of the night, and apparently Smokey's a big one. He's 90 pounds. He's usually not cold, so he spreads out on the other on the foot of the bed, at the base of the bed. But every once in a while, when it's cold, they'll be balled up together between my side of the bed and the wall. And I got to get up in the middle of the night. And I'm stepping on moving fur. It's never a good thing, you know what I mean? And I don't like that, so I'll flip my flashlight on my phone and where's dogs and then start avoiding it, okay? If you can't see what's going on, every step, isn't it, can be stressful. You ever stepped on a Lego? It's like they grow fangs and like sharp edges on how can a little Lego hurt so bad? You know what I mean? It's that big. It's literally half a millimeter, you know, and it's bam, get you in the middle of the foot. You know, but yeah, when you have a light on, that's no big deal. I can avoid that obstacle. Well, when we're not in tune with God, it's like the lights are off spiritually. You might as well be walking around the dark with a landmine of Legos on the floor or whatever else it might be. It's going to hurt and it's going to sting. Okay? Now, keep this in mind with the illustration. When the lights are turned on, the obstacles and landmines are still there. The difference is I have light to see. The obstacles are not removed, but God is there to help us through the difficult times. Okay? So keep that in mind. So, we should wait expectantly because of the coming of the Lord. As bad as things get, as hard as things are, and he's talking to a church that is under constant persecution, he says, just remember, the Lord's coming again. Our goal and our prize is not this, whatever it is, earthly speaking. It is Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. I mean, listen, if Jesus wasn't coming again, there wouldn't be a whole lot of excitement for next Sunday, for Easter Sunday, for Resurrection Sunday. Because, okay, Jesus came for what then? He tells us he came for us and he's coming again. That there's enthusiasm in that. Every time we celebrate the Lord's table, there's enthusiasm in saying, we're doing this to remember that our Lord is coming again. Well, that's a great thing to celebrate as a faith family, as a church family. And so as we say those things, it's not just repetition. It's not just being repetitive to be repetitive. It's saying, boy, we have reason to celebrate because Jesus is faithful. He's coming again. To encourage us to be patient, look what James does. If you'll go back to your place in James, he gives us the illustration of a farmer. He says, see how the farmer, verse 7, waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it, until it receives the early and the latter rain. All right, so we see there, farmers in Palestine planted their crops just before the early rain in late October or November. Then the latter rain, came around March. It was necessary for a good harvest. All right, so their harvest is exactly flipped from when we would think ours would be. All right, that was necessary for them to do a successful harvest. You could not speed that up any way, shape, or form. The March rains were coming in March, not in February. You know, you might need crops in February, but guess what? Nothing's going to speed that up. So he uses an illustration that to those people that he's writing to, would be very real. You know, now today we have modified crops. You can change the timetable a little bit depending on the weather. You can change as far as how much rain it does and doesn't get. Not in those days. In those days, there was complete dependence on a rain in this month, and then X amount of months later, a rain in that month, and then harvest time is going to come. But you couldn't speed harvest time up. Just like when we're going through trials, we can't always speed the storm up. Whether you like snowfall or not, when a big one's coming, and it actually happens, which they don't always get right? It's coming down, all right? It's snowing heavy, and we see the radar's filled in. There's no way to speed that thing up. It is what it is. You know, we deal with it, and when it's over, then we start cleaning it up. And that's what we're talking about in this picture. And so James writes, he says in verse 8, he says, "You also be patient, establish your hearts." Okay? And he says, the farmer, and as we as believers, we must live by faith, expectantly looking to the future. All right, I know what God's promise is saying. It really does tie in with what we looked at this morning with Abraham. I know what God's word says. I'm going to keep looking to him because the future is going to be better because of what God has promised. Go over to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Hold your place here in James. And go back to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We have a promise here in chapter 6. That is so important for the believer. Galatians 6:9 says this: "Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." All right, so there's another even little glimpse of what the farmer we're talking about. Okay, because in due season we will reap. All right, so let's not grow weary while doing good. So just hang in there. You're doing what's right. We're always doing what God tells us to do, even though it is costing us in this earthly sense. Just hang in there. And then it continues and it says, "For in due season we're going to reap if we don't faint." So the word faint there kind of puts the idea that there's that duress again. There's that pressure. It's not always going to be easy. So we're facing these trials, these hardships. He's saying, be patient because in due season, we will reap. We praise God for that. And last summer, my mom and dad went away and they said, check the garden for us a couple times. And we had a nice summer last year for the most part. Well, the one time they went away was, 95 degrees. So I went out there to check on our potatoes and dig around them and see how they're doing. And man alive, the wind got still. The horse flies look like, small, like drones coming at me. And I'm trying to dig the mounds up so the potatoes stay good and healthy. And, soaking wet, dripping. The ground was hard. I'm like, this is not fun at all. But, boy, when it came time to harvest, it was worthwhile because we love those fresh potatoes. I'm not a huge garden guy, but there's nothing like potatoes out of a garden. Nothing. You can't compare them. Anyway, I'm getting hungry thinking about that. But the idea is this, is that you couldn't speed that up. You just couldn't speed it up. Okay? You have to do it. So there's patience involved in the process. All right? If you're taking a class and you know the class, whether you know it or not, you have to go to class, you have to take the quizzes, you have to listen to the lectures, do the paper. You might understand it. It might be a relatively easy subject, but the class still has to come to pass and go through the whole season until you reap what you've earned in that class. Back in our text in James 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Some versions say is drawing nigh, has drawn near. All right, so understand this, that term, that phrase, it's a relative term. It's relative. For example, a mayfly has a lifespan of a few hours. If you compare a mayfly and a caterpillar weaves itself into a cocoon, the mayfly would think that was the end of the caterpillar because the mayfly would never live long enough to see the end of that cocoon being opened and it turns into a butterfly through that metamorphosis process. Even though the time was near, you couldn't convince the mayfly that a few days is a short time, because a few days is multiple lifetimes to a mayfly. Okay? So nigh to a mayfly is a matter of minutes, not days. For you and for me, a butterfly's transformation is literally only moments away, comparatively speaking. Okay? But that doesn't change the fact the time that the caterpillar becomes a butterfly is near. And on God's timetable now, listen, our lifetimes are like that of the mayfly. It's just a brief moment, isn't it? Turn over, if you would please, 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, just a book over to the right in your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. 2 Peter 3:8 says this, "But beloved, do not forget." Keep this in mind, in other words. "Do not forget this one thing, that the Lord, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So he tells us, when we're talking about God's timetable, it is not the same as ours, just like the mayfly's timetable is drastically different from our timetable. So that helps us understand, keeping in mind the idea that being patient, we must wait expectantly, because there's a season for things. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 talks about there's a season for everything, a time for this and a time for that. All right? You know, you might not like summer. I'm not a big fan of summer. It's coming, and it's a season. Deal with it. I have to deal with it. You know? Most of you despise winter. You haven't grumbled very much. I've been very proud. You've done good this winter. It's been a rough one. You know, you just, every time you see me, you say, "Pastor, did you pray for the snow?" I promise you I haven't prayed for it. But nonetheless, I think you're accusing me of praying for it, but I haven't, I promise. But you know, those seasons come. Those seasons also go. You know, that's true in our lives as well. My wife was counseling someone just recently, and they were frustrated with some things. And it's funny, because now that our kids are the age they are, just like some of you can look at us and say the same thing, that season of life where they're, you know, in diapers and running amok through the house and there's nothing ever where it wants to be, and you just, when is this ever going to end? That season of life shifts quickly. You know, and so what God has for us for this season might not be for our entire life. But for this season, this is where God has us. So waiting expectantly is really important. Number two, we need to relate. We must relate gracefully. Back in our text, verses 9 and 10 says this, "Don't grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." All right, so we see what he says. That word grumble is also another word translated in some translations as grudge. Means to groan or even to sigh. The idea is to murmur or whisper in discontent. Many of you all know I coach basketball varsity boys, which is always a challenge. I coach varsity girls too, but they were a much more pleasant disposition for the most part. You know, guys, they would always try to cheat every drill I taught. They would cheat every drill, you know. We did one called 5 and 5, for example. That meant I put 5 minutes on the clock and they had to do 5 suicides. If you know what a suicide is, it's too long to explain it to you now, but they had to do 5 suicides in 5 minutes. If not, we just do the whole thing over again, everybody, you know. Well, what happens is that the guys know where the lines are, so they cut the line by a foot. All right, so me, stop, line back up, changing the drill now. Now you have to touch the line with your fingers and not just your toes, because you guys aren't touching the line properly. And if anybody misses a line, I'm going to stop the drill again, and we'll do it over again. And I heard, oh, my goodness. Somebody grumbling, we can just do it over again now. No, sir. No, we're good. Just checking, you know. Not having that, because what's going to happen is it's going to happen in the game. And we can't have, and see, now here I am, I'm putting pressure on practice. You know why? Because we need more pressure in the game. So I'd put more and more pressure on my guys in practice so that when it came time for game time, the pressure didn't seem new. I was constantly pushing them, they would say over the edge, but to the edge, to put more and more pressure so that when it came game time, they're like, hey, this isn't that bad. That's because I pressured you terribly in practice, nonstop all over you. Okay? Well, realize this, that murmuring, that whisper, that's discontent. Refraining from grumbling is one way we practice patience. Now, when we deal with difficult people, it seems natural to grumble and complain. But God calls us to do the supernatural and refuse to do so. Turn over to Philippians. Again, hold your place here in James. Go back a few books to Philippians chapter 2. Go left in your Bible a few books or a few pages. In Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse 14. This is a command. It's not a suggestion. Okay? Philippians 2:14 says this. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. It doesn't say some things. Now, I'm not a Greek guy. I don't know a lot of Greek. But if it said some, it wouldn't say all in our translations. Okay? It says all. So do whatever we do, do it without complaining, without disputing, without grumbling. All right? Now, that could possibly be a challenge on some days. Ever got in a hurry and nothing goes right? We were coming back from my mom's last night. Me and Emma and Mike went to, they were there for dinner. A friend of ours was there visiting. And we came across a train. You know, it's that time of the year. You're starting to hit more and more trains, it seems like. And so we got there, and here comes the train. It's a big one, you know. And she says, Dad, you ever been in a hurry and you run into a train? Yep, sure have, Emma. You know, and she told about one time they were going somewhere and the train got all the way across the tracks and then stopped. You know, and it wasn't moving. They had to find a new way to get around. Been there, done that. Welcome to Ohio, right? You know? But, you know, that can be, oh, I can't, but stupid. And we start to nap. It just starts coming out, doesn't it? You know, may the Lord help us with patience and even how we respond in our heart and with our mouths. So God doesn't like grumbling. It makes that very clear in our text because it says that the judge stands at the door. It says, do not do this. Go back to Numbers 21. God hated grumbling so bad that way back in the New Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 21, we see that God had had enough of the people's grumbling in the wilderness. And grumbling about their conditions in the desert. And so look what happened in Numbers 21:6. Numbers 21:6 said, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. All right, now I'm not suggesting that's going to happen today. You're going to go home and grumble, and your house is going to fill up with serpents. But you understand from the Old Testament how much God dislikes sin for one and grumbling for another. Okay, so we understand that. James then in our text mentions the prophets. He says, who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering. take the prophets who spoke. And so he mentions the prophets. Now, God called on the Old Testament prophets, even the judges, for example, to proclaim a message to a backslidden country, a nation. And they were persecuted, and they had to face affliction because of their backslidden state. However, instead of grumbling, these prophets demonstrated patience and continued to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. And many of those prophets, they don't have very glamorous lives. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, just went around preaching the fact that doom and judgment was coming. That was his ministry. And even Noah preached that judgment was coming for a long time and no one repented. Talk about a difficult ministry, okay? So consider that. So realize the fact that they are an example of being patient with people. You know, I've been really pushing on our church the idea of discipleship. Not everyone grows at the same rate physically. Not everyone grows at the same rate spiritually. Remember that the Lord is our shepherd. The Bible does not compare him to a cattle herder. You drive cattle, he leads sheep. There's a big difference. I'm not even into farming. I know there's a big difference. Okay? God does not push us. He leads us. There's a big difference. I praise God for that. I praise God that He leads us beside the still waters. He doesn't throw us in the brook. You know, because sheep would sink and they wouldn't do it because they can't do much on their own. So you understand, we're compared to sheep, not cattle. God loves us so much that He leads us. He leads us. And so understand this, that when we're talking about this, that there's a place for us continually to demonstrate patience, even when we're in discipleship, when we're helping people, when we're working with people. Not everyone thinks like you do. Not everyone thinks like I do. Not everyone sees things through the same lens that perhaps you do. Maybe you have more Bible experience, so you have a more biblically complete worldview than what they might. Patience. And remember that God's patient with me every single day. Extend that grace to somebody else. All right? Turn to Colossians 4. Again, just going back, if you're still in James, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 4 talks about how to treat people and how to deal with people. Colossians 4 and verse 6, look what this says. This is so good. It says this in Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Seasoned with salt. So gracious speech is kind and courteous. In New Testament times, salt was used as a preservation to keep things from decaying. So he says our speech should be seasoned with salt. So that prevents our conversations from turning sour, if you will, rotten, improper. Let our speech be seasoned with this. All right, so how do we normally talk? Do we have that patience? We take out our frustration on those that are close to us. Do we unload on our family, our spouse, our children? There's not a place for that. We need to relate gracefully to people in our homes and our closest to us, most importantly. Well, it is 6:40, and I'm only halfway through this. I'm going to speed through it, okay? We've got about 5 to 10 minutes. I'm going to speed through this. The second two are not quite as long as the first two were. Number three, we must persevere faithfully. Back in verse 11 of James 5, it says, indeed, we count them blessed to endure. All right, so let's stop right there. That word blessed can also be translated happy. Okay? We count them happy who endure. So it indicates God's approval of our behavior and know that He rewards us. We saw it this morning with even Abraham being obedient, and God blessed him. Happy is he. Blessed is he. Okay? So even Job, turn over to Job 42. All right, Job 42, it's right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 42. Job 42, talking about his persevering faithfully, and I mean to tell you, Job went through it. He lost his children, lost his wealth, lost his health. His wife was not exactly encouraging. I mean, it was just one thing after another. Job 42:10 says this, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, we live in the now generation. Everything's got to be today. We've got to have it now. We want it quick, and we want God's time to be our timetable. And so we got to persevere faithfully in this situation. I'm not going to turn to Romans 5, but you'll see that patience produces character. That blank, you can see the word character is mentioned. And our character takes time to develop. It doesn't happen overnight. You can destroy character overnight, but you can't develop it overnight. Okay? And that word character, in some translations, you'll see it as mentioned, experience. It's the same idea. Okay? Turn over, if you would, please, to Lamentations. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, I think it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. I might have missed a book in there, but it's after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. There's a truth here because God puts his tender mercy on us. And Lamentations 3 and verse 22 says this, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not." There's a verse. If you're going through trials and difficulties, I would encourage you to put that one on the 3x5 card. Put it on the wall, bathroom, refrigerator. Memorize it, dashboard. Lamentations 3:22. "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed." Because of God's mercies, fire doesn't fall out of heaven and consume us. That's what that verse says. And then it says this, "Because his compassions fail not." But boy, we got to persevere in tough times. So, we must wait expectantly, relate gracefully, persevere faithfully. Number four, we must communicate honestly. Back in our text, it talks about in verse number 12, "But above all, my brethren, don't swear by heaven and by earth with any other oath. Let your yeses be yeses, your noes be noes." Very quickly, we're talking about the idea of the people who say things like, "I swear to God," or "I swear on a stack of Bibles." That is not appropriate. This is not talking about taking a court of oath in like a law, okay, in court. That is protecting us from perjury and other things. That's not what this is talking about, okay? In our fallen world, legal oaths are necessary to guard against perjury and to point out seriousness of telling the truth and penalty for giving false testimony. Taking an oath in a court of law and then giving false testimony, that's called perjury. It's not a good thing. In fact, don't turn there, but Exodus 20:16 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Let your yeses be yeses, your noes be noes. Be honest and completely above board." So in our culture, the word swear also means to curse or cuss, use profanity. Do circumstances, people, or problems cause this in our lives? Does our vocabulary change when we get frustrated or angry? Turn lastly to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 24. Here is another command for us. It says this, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." All right. Now, you know, I have friends that were in the military for a long time, and not an excuse, but that's what they hear 24/7 in the military. You know what? This is a struggle for them, and they'll tell you that. All right. Well, that doesn't make an excuse, but at the same time, they have to ask God to help them with this, perhaps more so than maybe you do. Okay. So remember, we all have besetting sins. We all have things that we struggle with that are perhaps personal, perhaps private, perhaps vocal. At the same time, we need to ask, okay, this is a struggle for me with my mouth and how I say things and what I do and how I treat people. Remember, let your yeses be yeses. Let our noes be noes. You know, I don't know about you, but I get really frustrated. I can't do it anymore. I used to, but my blood pressure rises. I turn on a political talk show, and the guy who's asking the questions asks a straightforward question. You know, it's a yeah and no question with an answer. And then they go, "Well, that depends on," and then they go into this lengthy, contrived to lean, and I'm like, "What was the answer?" It wasn't yes and no. The problem is that politicians want to be professional politicians, not answer truthfully because they want to keep their job. I won't get into all that. Okay, you get the idea. Okay, we need to guard against that. We're not politicians. We are servants of Jesus. Someone asks you questions about doctrine, answer truthfully, not hatefully, not ugly. You know, do you believe I'm a sinner? The Bible says we're all sinners. Yes, I am too. That's honest. It's not mean. Okay? Explain what sin is. Do you even know what sin is? Okay? Well, maybe they don't. Maybe they do. You see what I mean? Yes, let your yeses be yeses, your noes be noes. So, patience. We need to wait expectantly. We need to relate to people gracefully. Persevere faithfully. And we need to communicate honestly. May God help us to be a people who are asking God to help us grow in our patience. It'll help us, as we even saw this morning, in expanding in our faith. Well, once again, let's make sure that if you miss somebody today, call, give them a call, tell them you're praying for them. We've got a lot of needs and prayer requests, and I hope to see you Wednesday night for prayer meeting. And looking forward to a good week. Looks like it could be snow-free. Might be above 50 a couple days. So that's it. Yeah, knock on wood. Yeah, knock on real stuff. Okay. And spring is coming. They say it is on the calendar. So Lord willing, we'll get to see a little bit. Why don't we close in prayer? Father, thank you so much for this time in your word with your people. God, I ask that you would help us to accept the fact that we have to face seasons of our patience being tested and tried. God, help us to rest in you. Help us, Lord, to know that you know what's best for us. And that is difficult, Lord, in our humanness to see sometimes. God, I pray that you would be with those in our church that are hurting, that are sick, that are struggling, recovering. Lord, please touch them, encourage them. And I pray that you would just give us a great week for you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night prayer. Then we have sunrise service 7 o'clock, bright and early, next Sunday morning. No evening service next Sunday night. All right. Have a good one.